praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, a presentation of Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over seven decades, culminated his ministry with a 21-year book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called Life Study. This Life Study is the basis for our program today and includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's program. There are many stages throughout history in God's move and work among mankind on the earth. Much of the Bible is occupied with these stages. The great turn of the Lord's spread during the book of Acts was to the Gentile world, opening a door to eternal life and the kingdom of the heavens to all who would take freely the eternal life of God in Christ Jesus. We're still enjoying this turn today, nearly 2,000 years later. For this major step in God's move, the Apostle Paul was raised up sovereignly by the Lord to be the apostle to the uncircumcision. And Peter's ministry was brought to a wonderful and victorious conclusion. We examine both of these stories on today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry and based on the ministry of Witness Lee and Watchman Nee. We have recorded portions from Witness Lee's 1984 Life Study of Acts on the program today, and Dick Taylor is with us to examine a very significant event in the long history of God's move on the earth. Dick, this is really an interesting picture from the book of Acts today, isn't it?
It sure is. It's a good conclusion of one chapter and the opening up of another.
Well, as we saw last Friday, Dick, chapter 12 of Acts stands as somewhat an inserted parenthesis in the record recorded in Acts. And it gives us the victorious and honorable conclusion to Peter's ministry. And his ministry was really the dominant factor in the church since the resurrection and ascension of Christ. But it also gives us the full initiation of Paul into his apostolic ministry. Dick, review this victorious conclusion of Peter's ministry for us.
Peter was arrested again because he was victoriously announcing Christ as the good news. He was arrested. He, in chapter 12, he's put into the innermost prison. He's guarded by 16 soldiers. What a scene. And in the middle of the night, the angel of the Lord comes in and unlocks the prison and takes him through one guard and another guard and finally out the iron gate. And then Peter ends up in a prayer meeting. And they were just having a wonderful time enjoying Christ. Peter's ministry, we see in this chapter, is coming to a conclusion. He was appointed by the Lord, particularly to the circumcision. And this chapter 12 is a triumphant, glorious conclusion to his ministry. And it was also a glorious victory over the enemy. You can see Satan was embodied, really, in Herod. Verse 23 of chapter 12 says, "And Herod, being touched by an angel of the Lord, was eaten by worms and expired." So on the negative side, you could say the enemy was defeated. But then verse 12, 24 says, "But the word of God grew and multiplied." This was a strong sign of the Lord's victory in this battle. And it was a glorious, victorious ending for Peter's ministry, which was a ministry mainly to the circumcision. And it was a tremendous initiation into the next stage of the ministry to the Gentiles.
Well, the book of Acts, Dick, records this turn in focus from the Jewish or circumcised world to the uncircumcision. That's the Gentiles, and for the most part, that's us. We want to really focus ourselves as well on this portion because we're included now in this new move, this new step, this new turn in God's move. Here's Witness Lee.
We come to chapter 13. In this short portion of the word, we could see the Lord's move among all his gifted people. This is a turn. It shouldn't be considered as a new beginning. We should say it is a new turn. The beginning was still there in Jerusalem. It is not a new stream, a new flow. It is a continuation of the flow which has been existing there for quite a time. And this flow began from Jerusalem and flowed to Antioch. Now at Antioch, there is a turret. Jerusalem is the center of the religious Jewish people. It was a center of the Jewish religion. Antioch was a center of Syria, a Gentile world. And this center is quite strategic. So it has been chosen by the Lord to have a turn of his move on this earth. This is in the Gentile world. At the start of the flow in Jerusalem, all the 120 there were typical Jews, no mixture. Not only typical Jews, but all of them were Galileans. But here, at the turn in Antioch, just five persons, they are of a number of different sources. You have Barnabas, he was a Jew, he was raised up in Cyrene, a Gentile place. Then you have Niger, probably from Africa. And Lucius, the Cyrenian, if this is the Lucius mentioned in Romans 16:21, he should be a kinsman of Paul. He was raised up in Cyrene in North Africa. Then you have Manion. He was a foster brother of Herod. And this Herod was the one who martyred John the Baptist. So Manion must be very much related governmentally to the Romans. He probably has been very much Europeanized. Then you have Saul of Tarsus. You could see all these five persons are of different background and of different status. Not like those 120. They were just kind of one background, one source, one status. But these only five are of so many kinds of sources and background. Whatever the Lord did here must be a set up pattern. That is, from this turn, the Lord's move will go to reach the Gentile world, and in the Gentile world, surely you have different kind of peoples of different kind of culture, different kind of races, different kind of status. So at the very beginning of this turn, the pattern was there already.
Well, Dick, this portion presents one of the most dramatic turns in the history of God's move on the earth. Prior to this time, the church on the earth was pretty much the exclusive domain of the Jewish believers. But now, in these chapters, we're beginning to see a new move of the Lord that was centered not in Jerusalem, but in Antioch. And what is emerging in this turn is a church life, including many different races and classes of people. This is quite a profound change, isn't it?
I really enjoy, Chris, chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in Antioch, in the local church, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius, the Cyrenian, and Manion, and the foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Even these names indicate, wow, what a change in the church. Because you study these names, you realize they came from all over the place. Some are from Africa, some from Europe, all over the place, different colors, different races, different cultures, different statuses even. If you study these brothers that were mentioned, some higher, some lower, some richer, some poorer, this is a big, big turn in the Lord's move on the earth. Up to this point, it was all those who were of the circumcised race. But now there was circumcision, uncircumcision, Greek, Jew, and we're touching barbarian, Scythian, bond and free. I like Colossians 3:11 that says, the new man is where there cannot be Greek or Jew, there cannot be barbarian, Scythian, bond free, but Christ is all and in all, meaning there are many races, many cultures, many colors, but eventually they all look like Christ. Christ has blended this diverse humanity into one expression, into one body, even into one new man, of which he is the center, the content, and the constituent. This is a blessed scene that even here with these five prophets and teachers, the Lord was setting up a pattern by giving us this verse, showing us that the church henceforth will be composed of people from all races, cultures, and backgrounds and statuses. So this is a wonderful initiation into this new stage of the church life, no longer just the Jews, just the circumcision, but all kinds of people could be included. And that includes you and me, Chris. I don't know about you, but I am very, very happy. Thank you, Lord, for including us in the body.
Dick, I echo your joy at that. And recently, I had the opportunity to be in Florida, actually in Tampa, for a conference that we were enjoying. And a number of our listeners from WTIS, a marvelous station in the Tampa area, happened to join us for some of these meetings. And I was talking to one of the listeners after the meeting, and he remarked at what we're talking about right now. He saw all the colors in the meeting, and even that had come forward to speak something in the way of testimony or prophesying for the Lord at the conclusion of the meeting. And there were African-Americans and African-Africans and Caucasians and Puerto Ricans and Cubans and Hispanics and Asians and Chinese and Korean and Japanese. And it was quite a demonstration. He was very much struck by this. And as we were talking together about this point, it just became very clear to us that this is what the universal church looks like, surely. When the universal church touches the earth and becomes the local church, really shouldn't it look the same?
Really should. And actually, Chris, this is the real United Nations. And I agree with you. You had this experience in Tampa. And I meet every week in Los Angeles. I have to tell you, in our meetings, we've got people from everywhere, every color, every background, and we are just one. We are so happy that the Lord included all of us from so many backgrounds to be a part of His testimony, and we're enjoying the oneness, which is uniquely Christ Himself. Isn't this good? No more division. Division is over. Now we're enjoying the one body of Christ.
Dick, I'd like to stay here, but we've got more of our broadcast we've got to get to. Let's rejoin Witness Lee.
This pattern is versus today's organizational activity. In today's organization, whenever you would have a kind of activity, you will form a kind of a board to raise up the fund, then to organize something. Then you have the voting, the election, then you have to vote the members of the board, you have to vote the chairman or the president, then you have the ordination. But here, you couldn't see anything like this. No mission board, no raising up a fund, no selection, no voting, no chairman, no members, organization, no, not at all. Here it says these five persons are teachers and prophets. There were in Antioch, in the church, prophets and teachers. By what way these prophets and teachers were produced? There was no seminary, no ordination at all. Niger, Lucius, Manion, Barnabas, and Saul, they were produced to be prophets and teachers. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says, the head of the body, Christ, give the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers, and shepherds. All these gifts were raised up by the head and given to the body by the head. They were not gifts educated by human way or raised up by a kind of a selection, voting, and ordination. No, they were just produced among the saints by their manifestation in their kind of a Christian life and living. For instance, Stephen was manifested in chapter 7, to be a great teacher, and Philip was manifest to be an evangelist. In chapter 9, Paul was manifested there. Number one, an evangelist. And number two, a great teacher. All these gifts were not produced in a human way by human hands. They were produced by their kind of manifestation gradually among the saints. Then all the saints could recognize that they do have certain gifts, look to the Lord that he would produce something out of his body, not organizational, but organic. If some of the brothers and sisters would go the full-time way, that must be organic. It should not be organizational.
Dick, we have now the various members of the body presented as gifts to the body from the head. This is marvelous. Here we heard that the proper gifts are not raised up according to man's organization, but according to the organic way of the body. What is the difference here between an organizational way and the organic way?
First, it's good to understand what's organic mean. Organic means the way of life, the way of the divine life. Organizational means you have a committee, you appoint this, you do that, and you get people of a certain skill to do this and that. But it's basically all man-made things, and eventually you do not have the body of Christ. You just have a group of various capable people who end up fighting with each other. But when you go the way, the organic way, you don't end up with contention and strife and competition. You end up with a wonderful, marvelous harmony and oneness that is known only by Christ as our life being everything to us. I grew up, Chris, with a background of the organizational way, and I just saw nothing but competition and division. Why? Its source is man himself. But the organic way, the source, is God himself coming into us to be our life and our everything. And as he grows in us, as we're in an environment where this life can grow and can develop properly, then over a period of time, what we really are in our spiritual capabilities and talents is manifested in a healthy way. Just like somebody growing up in a family, eventually they're mature enough to be a mom and dad themselves. The organic way is just this matter of receiving the Lord as life, enjoying him over a period of time as our life and our everything, and growing in him and allowing the functions within us to develop for the sake of the building up of his body. There's a big difference between the organizational way and what we see here in the scriptures, which is the organic way. Where did Stephen come from? Where did Philip come from? Where did Paul come from? Look, all of a sudden they just come. They didn't end up going through some organized system. Even they didn't go to some seminary. Where did they come from? They came from Christ getting into them as life, growing in them, and their function being developed and manifested over a period of time. Stephen was manifested to be a great teacher. Philip was manifested to be a great evangelist. And Paul was manifested to be both a teacher and an evangelist. But it was a matter of going the organic way. So this chapter brings us to the fact that we must not go man's organizational way. We must go the way of Christ as life growing in us, maturing in us, developing in us, and being manifested through us in the way of ability and capability for the building of his body. Then there's no fighting, there's no competition, there's just oneness.
Dick, we've talked about how the gifts are presented from the organic source, and in this coming section we're going to see now that these ones are functioning and living and their function in life is being carried out, they have to be supported and sustained. Herein lies one of the real traps for us to fall back into an organizational system. We're going to see this in this coming section. Here's Witness Lee.
We don't take the way of organization. Our way is just organic. It is the way of life. It depends upon how do you grow in the Lord? And it depends upon how the divine life develops in your being to have some ability for functioning. This is the organic way based upon the growth and development of the divine life within us. Once we left this organic way and took the organization away, that was a degradation. That was a kind of a falling back. We should abandon that organizational way, which was a way by human hand. So this is the way. What way? The way of sparrows, the way of lilies. We, the ones who go full-time, we are sparrows in the air, and we are lilies on earth. Just forget about money, dollars, and cents. The Lord will not leave you to die. In this chapter, there's no discussion where to get the money, how much we had to pay. Barnabas didn't tell Saul, Brother Saul, you be assured, I will take care of your living expenses. And Saul didn't check with all the others. You all lay your hand upon me. How about my traveling expenses? I'm going to leave. You send me out. Who is going to support me? Saints, be encouraged and be assured. If the Lord so leads, you just take his way. Don't talk about money. Don't talk about organization. Don't consider about your position, your rank, your title. Forget about all this. The Lord will take care of everything. The Lord's move has been quite much restricted by this shortage of hands. So there is the need of full-timers. Then by what way? Not by the way of selection, neither by the election, but by the way that the saints are growing to be led by the Lord by faith. You leave the whole thing to the Lord, and you wouldn't care the most for your position, for your rank, for your title, and so forth. You only care for the Lord's move. You like to be in his move. That's all. In Paul, you can see, he didn't care for anything. He only cared for the Lord's interest, to labor, to labor, to labor, to labor. He cared for all the churches. Many of you will hear this message and pray about it. Would the Lord lead you to go full-time? There is the need. The Lord is going to work on the five continents. So, to bring this letter to the Lord, pray about this and seek the Lord will open up yourself to him.
Dick, this touches one of the most difficult and problematic areas in the church, and that is the matter of finances. And we are seeing that the pattern set forth in Scripture regarding money for the support of the Lord's work and his workers is also in the organic way and not the organizational way. Just how, in our time and age, can this work practically, Dick, without formal organized fundraising?
I can tell you, Chris, I'm really happy that I have come under this ministry because I was much delivered from this background of the organizational way of raising money. To tell you the truth, I used to get disgusted. I would hear message after message and almost beating the drum. You got to give. You got to do this. And I just realized something is missing. But as I touched this ministry, I was brought to life. I was brought to the organic way. Christ in me as the one who wants to be enjoyed, grow, mature. And as I began to enjoy him and even meet with others who were enjoying him in the same way, I realized, hey, there didn't need to be this beating the drum all the time and pushing and pulling and giving three sermons for giving. But rather, the needs were met because once you touch this one, you just want to pour out in a very healthy way according to the Lord's life within you. Even 1 Corinthians 16:1 says, we enjoy the Lord, and each week we just give according as we've prospered. And Corinthians calls this an experience of grace. We're not even under a law here, but we're just enjoying Christ, who is so rich to us, who is our life within us. And as we enjoy him, we just want to give in such a healthy, organic way. So the main point here is that we would be those who just follow the Lord and take the organic way, take the way of life, and he will take care of us. Many will serve the Lord full time. I have to testify, I serve the Lord full time, and the Lord has really taken care of me, mainly by opening my being to him and letting him have the first place. The secret is we would give him preeminence. I'm reminded of Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. So if we would take the Lord's way of his purpose concerning himself with the building up of his church, he will render the care, and there'll be a proper release of all the funds that are needed to take care of the Lord's work. So both the work is organic, and even the giving behind the work is organic. Hallelujah for the organic way.
Dick, not only do I want to add my amen, but I believe if we listen carefully, we can probably hear the chorus of amens coming from so many of those hearing this broadcast today.
Amen.
This matches something in our inner being to hear this kind of speaking.
It sure does.
There's just a shortage of it, I'm afraid, in the church today. Thank you, Dick.
You're welcome, Chris.
Well, our life study today is concluded. We're out of time, and we've ended on, I think, a very touching and fitting note. And we encourage you, as always, if you're interested in more detail and more depth on this topic and all of those related to the life study programs we've been having, please contact us at our toll-free number, and that's 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 543-3788. Or write to us at Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121 in Anaheim, California, 92814, or send email to radio@lsm.org. For Dick today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. If you have any questions or would like to find other Christians in your area who also enjoy this ministry, feel free to call us toll-free at 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Or you can email us radio@lsm.org. Thanks for listening today.